Take it from me, you guys are not going to want to miss the party of the summer. It's Rocklahoma, it's back in Pryor, Labor Day weekend, September 1st through 3rd, and it's going to feature acts like Warrant, LA Guns, Bullet Boys, Godsmack, Chevelle, Daughtry, Skid Row, Limp Bizkit, Bush, Theory of a Dead Man, Asking Alexandria, Kix, Pantera, Rob Zombie, Corey Taylor, and many, many more. Go to rocklahoma.com right now to get your weekend passes and keep listening to On the Road to Rock with me, Clint Switzer, to learn how you can win two weekend passes for the whole weekend of Rocklahoma. Stay tuned.
What's up, everybody? It's John Bush from Armored Saints sitting here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You are on the road to rock.
Hi, everyone. This is Eric Martin, the lead singer for the band Mr. Big, and you are on the road to rock with Clint Switzer.
Thank you so much, man. I love talking about the things that I love, Clint, and for you to allow me to do it with you. God bless you. God bless the Heartland. God bless America.
You are now on the road to rock. It's not just a podcast. It's an unabashed celebration of rock's living legends. And now, please welcome your host, the master of your rock and roll road trip, leading you down the highway to hell, Clint Switzer.
You are currently on the road to rock. I'm your host, Clint Switzer. Thank you so much for being a part of the show all year long, especially during these wonderful summer months. Hope you have had a tremendous one so far. Hope you've enjoyed the weather, your friends, your family, got on some road trips, hit some live shows. Speaking of live shows, I've got one coming up this weekend. I will be at Motley Crue, Def Leppard, and Alice Cooper. That's going to be in Omaha, Nebraska, at Charles Schwab Stadium on Sunday. Full review coming up, of course. You know you can count on me for that. I'm really excited about this one. Alice Cooper busting out some rare gems, it looks like, on this tour. So if you're a fan of like 80s Alice and songs like Lock Me Up from Raise Your Fist and Yell or Snakebite, that's on there. That's being played. So then you get Motley Crue and Def Leppard. They did the stadium tour last year. They are out there doing just a string of U.S. dates. They've been overseas for most of the summer, so getting just a few U.S. dates in, and I will be there here on Sunday. So hope you've had a tremendous summer. As we get closer and closer to football season, that means we're closer and closer to me being as busy as I'll ever be. So here we are trying to get some great interviews, some great guests lined up for the show. Definitely feel like we have that this week as John Corabi is going to be joining us to talk about his current tour. He's out there doing a solo tour as we speak with Winger and Tom Kiefer from Cinderella. Also, he's rejoined the Dead Daisies. They have a new Greatest Hits album coming out, and they will be on tour starting in late August all the way until December. So lots of U.S. dates involved with that. Go to thedeaddaisies.com and check out the Dead Daisies tour date. So John Corabi, no rest for the wicked. He's going to be out there doing what he does, and he's just a cool dude. He's been on this show, I believe, twice before, but this is the first time we actually were able to do the interview like on Zoom. So if you like the video version of these interviews, go check it out on our YouTube channel, which is Starcade Media. Yes, Starcade Media, Starcade. That is the media umbrella to which everything we do falls under. Of course, go to the website, roadtorockpodcast.com. And as always, hit us up on our social medias. Any questions, concerns, feedback, we appreciate it as always. But yes, John Corabi coming up. We're going to talk about the Motley Crue tour that I'm seeing on Sunday. How does he feel about John 5 replacing Mick Mars in the band? And what about this petition that's going around on metalsludge.com? Will there be a 30th anniversary of Motley Crue, the 94 self-titled album with John Corabi as a part of it? Now, Motley Crue have kind of done their darndest to try to distance themselves from that John Corabi album and John Corabi in general, but no matter, I have the utmost respect for John and his career, whether it be The Scream, his time in Rat. I remember meeting John at the 2005 Rock Never Stops tour in St. Joe, Missouri. It was, let's see, Rat, Firehouse, Cinderella, and Quiet Riot. It was like Kevin DeBro's last big tour with Quiet Riot before he passed away. So that was a very cool show. I thought John was a good fit in Rat. He's done so many great things throughout his career, not just the Motley Crue 94 album, but he's out there. He wrote a book back last summer called Horseshoes and Hand Grenades. Hope you'll check that out. It's on Amazon now. It's one of the best rock and roll reads you'll ever be a part of. So make sure that you go check that book out. Go check out John Karabi's website, johnkarabi.com, and really just bask in what this interview is, which is tremendous. It's been about 4 or 5 years since John's been on the show. So this is a cool one. But before we get to that interview, I've got to remind you that Rocklahoma is coming up in Pryor, Oklahoma. It's Labor Day weekend. It is the party of the summer, one of the top rock festivals in the nation. It's all going down. Bands like Pantera, Rob Zombie, Bush, Theory of a Dead Man, Limp Bizkit, Godsmack, Skid Row, Kix, so many more. Go to rocklahoma.com where you can get your weekend passes. And if you want to win 2 weekend passes, you can go to our Facebook page, On the Road to Rock, on Facebook, and you can see how you can enter to win 2 tickets for Rocklahoma. I'm going to be there. Come join me. It's Labor Day weekend, and we're all ready to rock with Rocklahoma. So we appreciate you joining us here on the Road to Rock. It has been a while. We've never done it this way. How you doing, my friend?
I'm good, man. I just home for a couple days. I pick back up with the Tom Kiefer and Winger tour in a few days. And then I'm doing that till August 18th. August 19th is laundry day at the Karabi household. And then August 20th, I fly to Philadelphia to meet the Daisies and start our resurrected tour.
Well, so I just caught the show in Lampy, Missouri a few days ago, which was strange because Tom Kiefer was suffering some vocal issues. How's it going with him? Is he going to be able to pick back up here?
Yeah, you know what? Tom and I did, Winger wasn't on the bill, but we did like 3 shows in Texas, and it was ungodly hot there, like 105, 110 degrees. And I just think, you know, from outside, inside air conditioning, like all this other stuff, there's nothing wrong with Tom's voice. He sang the night before and sounded great, but he was feeling like he was getting a chest cold, and he had just started coughing and he couldn't control it, and then got a fever. So, you know, a couple days of rest, some meds, he'll be out and back and ready to rock in a few days. So keeping our fingers crossed.
And you guys did the show with Winger and in a local band on that Branson, that Lampy show.
Yeah.
That's kind of unprecedented. Usually that would be just like a quick cancellation. We got Tom Kiefer's the headliner here, but I think going on and doing that show, that's kind of a rarity today. And it's awesome that you did it, because a lot of people, I mean, Winger's amazing, and you had a great set. It all went well, man. And you guys, I think, are going to come back and still do, tickets are still good. So.
And that's a testament, though, to, you know, Phil and everybody at the Black Oak Mountain Amphitheater.
Great venue. Yeah.
You know, they had the option to cancel, but they decided that they would rebook the band maybe early next year or whatever, you know, try and do reschedule it, the package, the same 3 bands next year. And then they just said, you know what, let's just Winger and Karabi come out and we'll just do a free show. And it was the owner's birthday, so we just had a little party, and everybody got a free show out of it, and they can come back, and their tickets will be honored for next year's show.
It's awesome. So, and it was one of my favorite venues in Missouri. I live here in Missouri and on Kansas City, so the opposite side of the state. That venue's awesome. And it's one that, you know, you're right by Branson. You know, I don't know if you're like if you've ever been to Branson, but it's like the Gatlinburg, you know, you're a Tennessee guy. It's like the Gatlinburg of the Midwest. So it's a cool spot.
Yeah, no, I did a show there probably 2017, 18. I did a couple of acoustic shows there. It was cool. I had a good time. The staff at the Black Oak Mountain Amphitheater are awesome. And I can't wait to go back again.
It looks like you're having a blast doing this acoustic thing, playing songs from spanning your entire career, covers, having fun. What's it been like for you on this tour? Obviously, you've had a past Rat toured with Cinderella back in 2005. Touch on that in a little bit, but you are just having a blast. These guys are your peers. Winger is fantastic. Kip Winger, that, you know, Roth and Red Beach. It's such a wonderful band, great musicians. It just looks like an all around great package here this summer.
You know, the coolest thing about all of it is Tom and I, God, I've known Tom for 40 years. Like we go back to Philadelphia days together.
Yeah.
We were playing a lot of the same club. So I've known Tom since 1977 or 78. We were both teenagers, and then Winger, you know, I did a couple tours with them with Rat, in 2008, got to know the guys. Kip and Paul live here in Nashville. And, you know, so it was like just going out with a bunch of old friends, you know, buddies, and no egos, no bullshit. We just, you know, we just go out, we have some fun, we all razz and kid each other. And so it's been a good time.
Nashville, such a great city, and it's almost like the new LA. It's almost like the new Sunset Strip of the 80s. Everyone lives in Nashville now. I was just there a couple weeks ago, and it's like an Erector set. There are cranes everywhere. It's like the most construction. I think they said something like 30% of the cranes in the world are in Nashville right now, building stuff.
It's crazy. I moved here in 2006, and the population was about between six and 700,000 people. And Nashville is encroaching on 2 million.
Unreal.
It's crazy. And, you know, when I got here, I was like, I just like the vibe when I moved here. I came to write music with other people, and now all of a sudden it's like, you know, Vince Neil, Mick Mars, Derek St. Holmes, Brad Whitford, Steven Tyler, Jack White, Tom Peterson, Troy Laketta, Brian Forsyth, you know, all like three of the four Cinderella guys live here. So it's blown up quite a bit, and it's definitely not just a country town anymore. So
no doubt.
It's pretty-
you know, I think one thing that's tremendous, and it's been about a year, since this took place, but you, released an autobiography, Horseshoes and Hand Grenades, and, you go to Amazon and you look at the reviews of it, and you look back to the last year, and it's had a chance to marinate. A lot of people believe this is one of the great rock and roll autobiographies here in hindsight. So, you know, looking back and just the feedback that you've received, what was the process like for you? For all, first of all, just writing it, going back through, are you a guy that like remembers stuff, or you have to like, oh, I got to look up when this year was, when I did this tour, when we did this album? Like, what was kind of the whole process like of putting that book together?
Well, I got to give kudos to the guy that helped me write the book, Paul Miles. He is like the king of research. So the way we did it was he put together a list of questions and just called me. He was in Australia, I was in Nashville. So he would call me, and it was almost like conducting an interview. But then he would ask me something, and I would start telling a story, and then that story would lead to three other questions.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's also, I think I have a pretty good memory, but that's also why I put the disclaimer in the beginning of the book that these stories were to the best of my recollection. You know, sometimes dates, you know, maybe even some names might be off a little bit, but, you know, the story's there, it's intact, the integrity's there. And so far, like you said, it's been really positive, the feedback. So I'm grateful. It's just one other thing to put in my resume. And, you know, I don't know. I hope people enjoy it, but it was fun writing it. It was actually quite therapeutic as well. And then, you know, so far, like I said, the feedback's been nothing but positive.
I love that you talk in there about at one point you were a long haul truck driver. And it always makes me wonder, because like that was actually a job I thought about, like, because I knew I could not be, I was like not a normal person, like couldn't normal jobs and offices and bosses. And I was like, maybe a long haul truck driver. Like, I don't know, like I'm by myself and just on the road. Like, so what was that like for you? And was there a moment where you realized like, this is not for me. Like, I've got to pursue my passions and do what I want to do, because that the 2% of the people do that, John, they call them the 2%ers. So you were one of those 2%.
Yeah. You know, it was weird. It was a, it was actually, again, just something I'm really, there's no rhyme or reason to anything that I do half the time. but I had a year off of RAT. We were going to take a year off, and I was going through my second divorce, and I was like, fuck this, whatever. I was just like, ugh, I just was done with a lot of shit. And if I can be quite honest, I did the truck driving thing because I've always been fascinated with two things, trucks and trains. And I initially wanted to just get on a freight train and pack a small suitcase and a guitar and just work, or just whatever, just go coast to coast on a freight train for a while. Couldn't do it. There's a lot more schooling involved. So I was like, all right, whatever. And then I just randomly just decided to, all right, well, how long does it take to learn how to drive a truck? I mean, I kind of know already how to drive, and I can drive a stick shift. So I went to a school. I paid them like $3,000 or $3,500 bucks then. I'm sure it's more now.
Yes, it is quite a bit more.
Yeah, I went, I took a 3-week course, and I got my license, and I just said, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to go drive for a while. And I literally packed a small suitcase, and I took a guitar with me, and it wasn't like I had to do any heavy lifting or anything. I just had to drive the fucking thing. So I just drove around America. It helped me clear my head with the divorce and all that shit. And I drove, and then Warren DeMartini called and said, hey, dude, we're going on tour with Poison. I'm like, okay, cool. So I took the truck back. I delivered my last load, called the guy, said, hey, I'm coming back in. I went in, handed him the keys, and I said, hey, I'm going on tour. So I gotta quit. And he goes, what do you mean you're going on tour? And I go, oh, and I told him who I was at that point. And the guy was literally like, holy fuck, you sang with Motley Crue and and played guitar with Rat. And I go, yeah. He goes, what the fuck are you doing driving a truck? I go, I don't know, but I had fun. Thank you. And I handed him the keys and I left.
Unbelievable. That's amazing. I'm so, yeah, I think that life is such about those kind of journeys, and like exploring this country is something I love doing just by traveling. So that's really cool. So Dead Daisies, no rest for the wicked. It's starting up. You're back in. What made you decide this was the right move to make? Because I got to be honest, I love Glenn Hughes, but there was something about that version of the Dead Daisies that like I was not quite as engaged with as I was when you were in the band. So what made this come back together for you?
Well, you know, first off, when I left the first time, it helped that I did not leave under bad terms.
Sure.
I sat and I talked with the guys, and, you know, just for lack of a, you know, if you follow my career, you know that I had my solo band prior to the Dead Daisies. I was out touring, doing a bunch of shows with my son as my drummer.
Yeah.
And I got married in August of 2014. And in like January or February of 2015, like what, 4 months later, I got a call to join the Daisies. And initially we were like, well, you know, we're going to use you like half the year, part of the year, Well, we did that first record, Revolution, went on tour with Kiss and Whitesnake, but something connected with that record and the band just started blowing up. And it got to the point where it's like, I know most people would be grateful for the fact that we were as busy as we were, but I was just starting to feel like, holy shit, like I just got married and I said, I do, goodbye. And I left my wife at home, for like almost 4 years. And then my son was in my other ear going, Dad, you suck. You're the worst dad ever. I'm paraphrasing, but
sure.
I just moved to Nashville to be in a band with you and you fucking leave town for 4 years, And so I just said, I need to step back for a minute and like reevaluate some shit, which I did. And when David called me and said Glenn was now leaving and going back to doing his Deep Purple thing, we had a very long discussion about just having fun again. Like he said, I'm paraphrasing, but the band was getting so big so fast and just touring so much that we kind of lost sight of the fun part. Mm-hmm. And that's all David really wanted to do. He's like, I put this band together. I invested a lot of time and money into this band. And I want to write kick-ass songs and do kick-ass shows. But I just wanted to have some fun with some friends. And we were starting to lose sight of it. So he goes, I want you to come back. And now we're going to do it where we still do the kick-ass sets. We still write the kick-ass music. But not to the point of burnout. And just everybody, I think, in the last couple of years has learned the art of balance and going and doing what we got to do, kicking ass, but then coming home and recharging the engines, hanging out with the family a little bit, and then get back out on the road and do it again. So I'm looking forward to it, man. It's like, honestly, I got into rehearsal the first day with the guys in May. And it was like I never left. We just immediately started joking with each other and kidding around, and the song sounded amazing. So I'm looking forward to the tour now. I'm ready. We're all ready and chomping at the bit to get out and just have some fucking fun like we said we were going to do to begin with.
So much excitement for it. The deaddaisies.com. You can check out all the tour dates. It starts here August 22nd in Pennsylvania at Mickey's Black Box. And that is going to run all the way through December. So you got, like I said, no rest for the wicked. You're going to be out there. And it's and also a greatest hits album to coincide, celebrating 10 years of the band and all the great music and all the great output that the band has had. And so it's seemingly all coming together in a good way for the Dead Daisies, man. So
yeah, it is, and we're all excited about everything again, and like I said, we're touring from August 22nd till mid December.
Right,
we're being smart about it now. We're going out for like 3 weeks, a month, come home for a couple weeks, and then go back out again, and then come home for 10 days, go back out again. We've kind of figured out how to pace this thing.
I wanted to ask you about Bruce Kulick, if you keep up with him. And I was always such a Union fan, and as well as ESP. And, Bruce has done a lot of leaned in to some of the Kiss stuff. I went to a New Year's Eve show in Las Vegas with he and Eric Singer and Zach Thorne. They do a great job. And Todd Kearns, doing a lot of that stuff. Is that something that you would ever kind of revisit, any of the Union ESP type stuff?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, Eric's been obviously tied up with this farewell tour with Kiss
for a long time.
Yeah. And and it's funny, Deco Entertainment just re-released all the Union stuff, and it sold out in a matter of days. But, you know, we've talked about doing shows, but when you sit down and you think about it, it's like, okay, we would literally have to rehearse for a while because none of us have played these songs in 20 plus years. Then you need time to get a hold of an agent to book a tour or a run.
Sure.
So you're literally talking about a 4, 5, 6 month window. And the fact that Bruce has got his solo band, he's been playing with Grand Funk Railroad. You know, Brent Fitz has been playing with Miles and Slash and the Conspirators. Jamie Hunting's been out doing shows off and on with Roger Daltrey. I've been doing my thing, and it's just the point. We didn't, again, that's another thing. We didn't split up. We just kind of went in different directions. You know, we're all still great friends, you know, but it would take a bit of time to, you know, really put something together. So it's just coordinating everyone's schedule's been nothing short of impossible. So you never know. I mean, yep. I would like to do some union shows, but it's just, you know, we have to wait and see when everybody's got 4, 5, 6 months off to be able to focus on nothing but that.
It's weird as time has gone on. Like I put in ESP, like Live in Japan, when I want to hear those songs, and as you know, and even sometimes instead of like putting on the Alice Cooper song or the Kiss, I'm like, ESP, something about that gig and that presentation, man, like it's powerful. And that group and you guys, have you heard Zach Throne do his Gene? And do you think Chuck Garrick or Zach Throne does the better Gene?
You know what? It's,
you know, both awesome.
Yeah, no, they're both great. But the whole ESP thing just started at a Kiss convention by total accident. Eric and Bruce were at the Indianapolis Kiss convention. I was also asked to be there. And initially, a guy named Carl Cochran, who played with Ace Frehley, was invited as well. And, you know, we did all our stuff, the Q&As and all the stuff they do at those things. And then at the end of the night, they said, hey, do you want to go up and just jam? So we threw together like stuff like, you know, All Right Now, Tush. We learned a couple Kiss songs and we went out and jammed for like 30 minutes, 40 minutes. The fans loved it. So the promoter, Keith LaRue, said, hey, I'll pay you, you know, for you guys to go in the studio. And I'd love for you guys to just record a bunch of songs that you grew up listening to that inspired you. So the whole record was just covers. Now the thing that was funny is they were initially only going to release it via the Kiss online store.
Mm.
But Kiss has been around for so long and have been a huge part of so many different people's lives that the president of Universal Records in Europe was like, oh, I love Kiss. Yeah, I'll put this out. So they put it out. And then this guy Cooney in Japan, he runs a record label. He's like, oh, I love Kiss. I'll put it out. So all these record labels wound up putting it out, and it just wound up becoming a beast in its own right. So yeah. We never did any shows other than that one Kiss convention in Indianapolis. We just, you know, we've just gone to Europe. Like, well, we did. We haven't for a few years, but we would go to Europe, Australia, and Japan like once a year, sell out everywhere we go,
mm-hmm.
and then come home. And it was awesome. So I, you know, it's funny. I was talking to Eric not that long ago. I said, you know what, dude? We should start thinking about the next batch of cover songs to do for the next DSP record. He goes, I know, right? So whether it happens or not is yet to be seen, but it was great doing it. It was awesome.
John, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but there is a petition that has started on Metal Sludge. Every good story starts that way, right? to release Mötley 94 30th anniversary box set.
It'll never happen.
It'll never happen. Well, 30th anniversary coming up in 2024. I mean, some rarities, some the live. No,
it'll never happen.
Well, I'll break the news to the gentleman that started that. I'll let him down gently.
I don't mean it. You know, whatever. It's look, at the end of the day, Motley is Vince, Nikki, Mick, and Tommy. We know this. You know, but Motley, whoever, I don't know if it's the manager, if it's Nikki, I don't know, whatever. But this isn't anything news breaking, but they've gone out of their way to like kind of sweep that era under a rug. So they're not going to celebrate it. It's not going to happen. You know, if you have a copy, just embrace it, enjoy it. But nothing is coming out after that in regards to that record. I highly doubt it. So.
Well, you know, maybe if this gets enough signatures, we get people on there and sign it enough. No, but are there, if it did happen, are there enough like B-sides and stuff and unreleased material that
I don't know if there's unreleased material. I know, you know, I think if they took the 94 record and the Quaternary record and combined them into one session, you know, might be kind of cool. I don't know. But honestly, I'm grateful for my time with the band. I thank the guys for allowing me to be the asterisk next to their name. And, you know, but I highly doubt that, you know, it's ever going to happen because, again, it's like it is what it is. Motley Crue's Motley Crue, John Corabi's John Corabi. I try not to get involved in anything Motley. I get asked questions, I answer them, move on. You know what I mean? But I don't think, honestly, from where I'm standing, Motley's gone out of their way to remove that part of their history from their history. So it is what it is.
Fair enough. Do you, just what is your thoughts on John 5 being in the band?
I love John.
He's so good.
He's great. And it's weird because I have nothing but mad respect for John because I've known him for a gazillion years. My manager used to manage him. So I've known about him forever. And he is like an insanely talented guitar player. You know, but none of this stuff, again, all the shit that's going on between Mick and them, none of it surprises me. It doesn't. And John's got big shoes to fill, and he's kind of stuck in this. And trust me, I get it, because I was stuck in this shitty place as well between Motley Crue and whoever was being replaced fans. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I had to deal with the fans that were massive Vince Neil fans, and I get it, you know, and it was awkward at times to sit and listen to the guys do interviews where they went out of their way to slag Vince. I didn't even know the guy, so I had nothing shitty to say about him, but it is what it is, man. You know, it's like I don't envy John 5 at all at this point. You know what I mean? Like, he's kind of in a weird position because I know he adores Mick and he's friends with all the Motley guys. So he's kind of in a weird position. They offered him a great gig and he's doing it, you know? So trust me, I can relate.
One thing though, I feel like people in general, no matter what band it is, if it's Kiss, if it's Foreigner, who has no members left, the people are more open to it now almost, or they don't know. It's weird because with the internet, you could go find anything and find anything out, but it's almost like people go see a brand name, the logos on the backdrop, and that's kind of the end of it for a lot of people. You know what I mean? And so it's almost like I saw Motley Crue here in Kansas City. They played at the draft and there was like 80,000 people just out there enjoying the NFL draft and Motley Crue's playing. no one knew Mick was there or wasn't there out of that group. You know what I mean? It's almost like people are more receptive now than they were back then to member changes.
And this is why my book is called Horseshoes and Hand Grenades.
Exactly.
After reading it 50 times during the editing process, I realized that pretty much everything I've ever done in my life, whether it's bands or women, I was at the right place, but always at the wrong time.
Fair enough. I don't think that's necessarily always the case, John. You have a great body of work. The first time I ever met you was actually, oh God, don't fail me now, memory. But I think they call it the Rock Never Stops tour, 05, you, Firehouse, Cinderella, and Quiet Riot. Okay, that was in St. Joe, Missouri. I met you for the first time. I thought it was just an unbelievable package. And that was like the last tour Kevin DeBrow ever, the last big tour Kevin DeBrow ever did. I just, you know, before we get you out of here, I just, memories from that tour, touring with Quiet Riot. That was kind of the last time we saw Kevin, in a major tour.
That was sad because it was shortly after that tour he passed. But, again, it was like just going out and hanging out with a bunch of old friends, you know, all the Cinderella guys. I've known them guys for 40 plus years. Frankie Benali, unbeknownst, it is in my book, but Eric Singer told Frankie Benali about me when I first moved to Hollywood.
Ooh.
And there was an issue. There was a record they did with, I believe, Paul Sortino,
yes.
Quiet Riot.
Three,
and Quiet Riot 3, but they had already done 3. Long story short, they were looking for a singer. Eric Singer said, oh, call this kid that I know, Karabi. Frankie Benali called me. I went to the studio. I was so nervous and freaked out that it was Quiet Riot. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just some fucking dumbass from Philly. So it sounded like somebody was skinning a cat in the studio. Like, I was just nervous as shit. And then to be able to go and tour with him later, and he's like, oh, dude, I love your body of work. And I'm like, yeah. We hung out, we bullshitted, and it was, that whole tour was great. It was awesome. You know what I mean?
Sweet, man. That was time flies. It's almost been 20 years since that. It's been 18 years. John, so much good work. Love seeing you the other night. So glad it worked out. Thanks for being flexible here as we got the timing a little off. You're the best. And man, I can't wait to see you out there with the Dead Daisies coming up here this summer and fall, man. It's going to be great stuff. Always appreciate the time, brother.
Yeah, and anybody needs any info on the Dead Daisies, go to thedeaddaisies.com, and tour info, any info about the record or just new photos, whatever, it's all there.
And follow John Karabi. He's all over the place, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all over the place, man. As always, thank you again, my friend, and catch up soon.
Awesome, brother.
Thanks a lot.